Is it Ms. Nelson? Good morning to you.
Good morning.
You may proceed.
Please enter the appearance of Karen S. Nelson on behalf of Catherine Penny, who's represented by her parents, Rodney and Brenda Penny. May it please the court. As the court may be aware, the sibling relationship is unique in a family relationship. Our parents are with us throughout our childhood and our early adulthood, but most of the time, our parents will predecease us at some point in our early adulthood. And our spouses, we meet in our early adulthood and then travel the rest of the way with us. But our sibling relationships are unique in that we travel our whole lives with our siblings. And hence, I think the passage of the Fostering Connection Act and the federal version of that is the reason for the passage of that. It's a recognition that our sibling relationships are unique, that they are important, and that they serve several important functions in our lives. And that, unfortunately, in the foster care system, that we just have not done a good enough job of recognizing that unique relationship. In this case, had the department taken the call from the Pennies when Nettie was 2 weeks old and acknowledged that Catherine was the sibling, and she is under statute by definition, and placed Nettie with her sibling as required by statute, we would not be here. I know that the department has is supposed to give explanations for why.
When you say required by statute, which statute are you talking about?
The Nebraska Fostering Connections Act, Section 43, I think it's 1311 and it's .01.02. Under that statute, Nebraska Health and Human Services shall place siblings or a child with their siblings. They're supposed to look for all siblings. And if possible, place with that siblings. And if not, give an explanation to the court why not. That did not occur in this case. And if you look at the record, it's completely void of that explanation. Now, I think Nettie was 18 months. The explanation given is that she had become too bonded with her foster parents and that it may cause too much of a trauma on her to separate. And the reason for that is that the department did not follow the law. The bonding had taken place.
And so is your ultimate problem here standing?
I don't believe the ultimate problem is standing. I think that we went through and explained why the orders weren't final, and then cited the Lujan, I think I'm saying that right, it's spelled L-U-J-A-N, versus Defenders of Wildlife case, and set forth why we think that Kathleen has standing in this case. I think it goes back, what the first case you learn in law school, Marbury versus Madison, why, you know, there's a problem, why not have a redress before the court? This is a classic case. There's clearly a problem here. The department didn't follow the law. There's a problem here, and I think Lujan and other cases give us the standing that we need. Clearly there's injury.
Court vacated the order to intervene in November of 2015. Is that a final order?
I think it became final in February after there was a hearing. If you look at the order, there was
But doesn't affect a substantial right of the Pennies at that point? They're not allowed to intervene. That stage of proceedings now, what are they allowed to do if they're not intervening as a party?
Have an answer for the court. If you look at the in re adoption of Madison S. holding that this court came out in May, there was enough of a sliver that the court said, you do have a right to a hearing under this case under the Fostering Connections Act. And had the Pennies been successful, and arguably they may have, because they did have a right to hearing and present some evidence at that February hearing, had they been successful, there wouldn't have been a need to appeal.
What evidence could they have offered at that February hearing?
Well, I think that's part of the problem with that November 17th, 2015 order. It was not particularly clear, and it wasn't until we appeared in February that the court said, here's what I'm going to limit your evidence to. And so it wasn't until we appeared that day that it became clear that I was not going to be allowed to offer any evidence about the nature of the relationship between Catherine and Nutty, that we weren't going to be able to cross-examine any of the witnesses. And I think it's also terribly concerning that we weren't even able to make any offer of proof. So the record's very devoid on what we could have had. So I do think under In re Interest of Madison F., S., and R.G., that those other previous orders did not become final until February of 2016. And I think it's explained well in brief.
Foster parents would have the right to come in at that February hearing and present evidence as to why, their qualifications as to placement. Is that correct?
Yes, and they did.
Okay. What authority would grant the Pennies doing that same thing?
Well, it's not the Pennies, it's Catherine.
They're doing it on behalf of Catherine, but they're the ones presenting the evidence.
Correct, but I think the Fostering Connection Act is somewhat different. And there, I think it had to do with the relationship between Catherine and Nutty. And when we tried to get into that, we were not allowed to ask any of those questions. We were not allowed to cross-examine about the bonding assessment at all. And again, that was some of the fundamental problems, I think. And that was the basis under the Fostering Connection Act, and that they were proceeding and saying we have an exception here. So we were proceeding under the Fostering Connection Act, so I think we should have been allowed to at least cross-examine.
Do you think, with respect to the standing of a sibling, that the Fostering Connection Act is more explicit than the juvenile code in general?
Yes.
And that you would be relying on the Fostering Act?
Yes.
Whereas customarily in the juvenile code, unless the siblings adjudicated, the sibling is not in, I think.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Well, what is there explicitly in the Fostering Connections Act that gives a sibling standing?
Well, I think it goes, it's similar to the In re Interest of Kaylee and Kylie C, that this court said, hey, grandparents have the right to intervene, much like based on the Grandparent Visitation Right Act. And so I'm saying because there's a recognition that siblings have a right to be placed together under this act, if you draw the same analogy, siblings should have the right to intervene. I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hoffman, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Ryan Hoffman, and I'm representing the guardian litem in this matter. I think one of the justices in the previous argument stated that the juvenile court was a court of limited jurisdiction. Basically, we've kind of breezed over the standing issue here in the appellant's argument. Being a court of limited or special jurisdiction, the juvenile court only has power given to it that's conferred by statute. So the right to appeal in juvenile courts is purely statutory. It's set forth in 43-2106.01. So an appeal can only be taken by the county attorney, the juvenile's parents, the custodian or guardian, which would be the department, and the guardian life. Catherine Penny does not fall into any of these categories. So the fundamental problem here is this court does not have jurisdiction because Catherine Penny, nor do, has any standing to appeal the order of the court in February.
Was there standing at the trial level?
No. Did they have... Even if the Pennies were allowed to intervene in the matter...
Was Catherine a permissible party under the Fostering Connection Act?
Nowhere in the 43.1311.01 do I see that it confers any right on siblings to have any types of rights to appeal or to participate in these hearings.
How does the information get to the trial judge? How will the trial judge get the information to apply the law?
The department, at the February hearing that we had, put forth the information that was required in the statute regarding the efforts they had made to maintain this contact with the civil, with Catherine Penny. So the onus is on the department. And ultimately, a hearing was held in February of this year, wherein the department put forth evidence regarding their efforts and their compliance with the Fostering Care.
Is this seen as an adversarial hearing? Who puts forth the other side of the story?
It was not adversarial, as the record will show, because there was a November order that essentially voided the intervention of the Pennies and Catherine.
At that point, it was not adversarial.
In February, it was not adversarial.
Was it in November, the preceding November?
No, because an EJJ had come down, and the court was fairly clear at that point that there was no more equitable intervention. You can only intervene by law, and siblings are not allowed to intervene.
Under this act?
Under the Fostering Care and Connections Act, no.
How about under the Juvenile Code?
No. In Re Meridian H, says a sibling has no rights to the unadjudicated sibling.
Ms. Nelson argues that we should look at the grandparent case, and we gave grandparents some standing, and that's how we should give standing to siblings by referencing to the to the Fostering Commitments Act, or Connections Act.
That would only go to their participation, or foster parent participation is still limited, and it only goes to their fitness and qualifications to serve as a foster parent. Even then, foster parents, even if they're allowed to intervene to give testimony as to their fitness and qualifications to serve as a foster parent, they still do not have standing under statute to bring an appeal, and that's the fundamental issue here.
Is that November order, a final order?
Yes.
And why so?
Well, there's In Re Kaylee C. It affected the substantial right of the Pennies, and the case law is clear, Kaylee C., that should have been intervened, or that should have been appealed. It was not timely appealed. So the crux of the argument there is, even if you were to find they have standing, which under this new Fostering Care Connections Act, which I don't read by the plain language of statute, the order from November was not timely appealed. Another fundamental problem with this is the Penny's right to intervene is based on the adoption of Catherine and not their own right. So you guys... The Supreme Court has spoken on this in Re Meridian H. There was no standing, the siblings had no standing in the juvenile matter, and no standing to appeal. And I believe it was quoted, unadjudicated siblings have no rights in these matters.
Now, was that before or after the Fostering Connections Act was implemented?
There was a federal act that kind of coincided with the within meridian age, but the Fostering Care Connections Act was after the fact. So that's where counsel for the appellant comes in and is arguing that somehow that these the statute confers some rights upon a sibling, which it doesn't. It puts an onus on the department to make sure that the sibling relationship is somehow maintained, but only within the context of the juvenile in this case, which would be Nettie Fields, and not with respect to Catherine Penny.
Counsel, how do we, let's say the department violates the SCA, what's the recourse? Is there one?
Well, either the county attorney, the juvenile, or any of those parties that have standing to appeal to bring that issue in front of the court.
So just those people that are authorized by statute to appeal in a juvenile case would have the authority to enforce the FCA?
Yes, only those people authorized by statute. And there was a hearing held in this regard, and it was found that the department had complied. And the appellant in this case, pursuant to the statute, does not have any standing to appeal, thus there's no jurisdiction. I have nothing further, but unless I could address any more questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? 1 minute and 31 seconds, Ms. Nelson.
May it please the court. I do agree that there was a hearing, but the hearing occurred 15 months after Nettie Fields was born. Had a hearing occurred 30 days after she was born, as required under the FCA, in fact, I think there would have been a different outcome.
Now, what actually happened at this hearing?
I think it was the hearing that occurred in February 2016. And so, in fact, I think Judge Funk hit the nail on the head. The problem is the department did not comply with the statute. And because the department did not comply with the statute, had it complied 30 days later, I think the outcome would have been entirely different. And in fact, Nettie would have been placed with Pennies, because there would have been no statutory reason not to, because there would have been no health, safety, or welfare reason not to.
At its core, isn't your argument that as a matter of statutory interpretation, the statute imposing duties on the department automatically and necessarily provides rights to your client?
I think it does, and also, if you look at that November 17th order, it did give her rights to be heard, and nobody appealed that order, and I don't think that she was heard on February 2016, so they're appealing that, and so...
If we disagree with that premise, that the imposition of a duty on the department conversely provides a right to your client, there is no other source of statutory rights, correct?
I disagree, because if you look at the KVC case, grandparents appealed in that case. So I think that the statute inferring the right to appeal is not exhaustive.
Didn't they appeal the denial of intervention? Wasn't how that case proceeded?
Correct. I think that's correct. In this case, though, if you look at that November 17th order, there was a limited right to be heard. And if you look at the Madison S case, I think we had to wait and see what happened as of February in order for that to be a final. If you believe these cases, the Supreme Court cases. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Because the court has six cases this morning, we're going to take a short